You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to talk about the strength that joy brings to our home. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe the Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power
that can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us in this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Marriage After God podcast. If you've been enjoying this podcast and enjoying the content, would you just scroll to the bottom of the app and leave a star rating review? This just helps other people find the Marriage After God podcast, and we'd really appreciate that.
And also, if you want to support our podcast, we don't really do ads. We may in the future, but our goal is to not do ads. And one of our ways of not using ads to support the podcast is we have written books and we sell those books. So if you're interested in checking out our marriage resources, our prayer books, our devotionals, you can go to shop.marriageaftergod.com, and picking up a book from our store supports us in the production of this podcast. And also our Marriage After God book that comes out next year is available for pre-order. And so if you go to shop.marriageaftergod.com, you'll see in the very top left corner of the site a way to pre-order our book. And that would just be really awesome. We'd really appreciate that. So let's get into the icebreaker question.
Okay.
Which is, what is one funny memory from when we were dating?
Okay, so I can't think of a specific one at the moment, but what does come to mind is we spent a lot of time serving in youth ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of time.
When we're youth leaders.
Yeah. And we...
At good old Church on the Hill, Norco, California.
Yeah. We played a lot of games. We laughed a lot. We ate weird things. Like, we'd have contests and challenges, and there was just things that we did, you know, for the kids' sake, but we had a lot of fun doing together.
And remember that was, the lock-ins? We would just have overnights.
Yep, overnighters.
We would stay up all night, do milk chugging contests.
Gosh, and that does not sound fun now.
No, it doesn't.
But back then, it was like the highlight of our week. I feel like we came alive
in those times. We looked forward to it all year to do those events.
But like every Wednesday, we just came alive during that time. And I fell in love with you knowing that you had fun, you know, participating in that way,
being junior silly. High kids and high school kids.
Yeah, being silly or playing, it wasn't like dodgeball. What was it called? Murder ball?
Yeah, we called it murder ball.
We called it murder ball because it was
just
like
dodgeball, but we changed
dodgeball
the name.
Dodgeball on steroids, and we had a lot of balls.
There was no line. You just ran around the room throwing balls at each other.
But you guys would throw them so hard. Like these poor 13-year-old girls would get nailed.
But they kept playing it. None of them cried. Yeah. They were crazy. I forgot about that. Murder ball.
I loved that. I loved dating you because you were fun. And you're still fun.
Yeah. I got a little not fun over the years. But I've learned to change in that area. I'm still learning, but that's kind of what our episode's about, is not just fun, but joy.
Yeah.
But how fun cultivates joy and how we can actually cultivate environments of joy in our home. So let's get to the quote for today. And it's from the book For Better or For Kids by Patrick and Ruth Schwenk. Ruth Schwenk's from The Better Mom. And you said you loved this book. Mm-hmm. It's about family and the power that that God's given us in our homes.
Yeah, and the quote is on page 37, and it says, While married life with children can be challenging, we have reason to hope and to be encouraged. There is a way forward, a way through, and a way beyond all of the craziness. God's word has not changed. The promises of his word still stand. Is being married with kids messy? Yes. Does God have a purpose and plan in the midst of it all? Of course he does. And do we enjoy taking part in this crazy, life-changing, impossible mission of parenting? Absolutely.
That's great, because that sums it up pretty good. Parenting's hard. It is Marriage crazy. And parenting is hard.
It is messy. It's all of the above. And yet God's word still stands.
Yeah.
And we can enjoy it.
And we can enjoy it, which is something that we're learning day by day how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about kids a lot on our show and just the hard things and the fun things. But, you know, today we want to talk about joy, cultivating joy in our home, having fun in our home, and how that joy brings strength to our home and our walk and our mission in life.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we can be so caught up in making sure that everything that we're trying to order or manage is happening, and we become kind of like the officers in the home of making sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Or even when it comes to our work, you know, we have this rigid schedule of things that we need to get done, and it's kind of like on our timeline, and yet we have kids, you know, pulling on our elbows saying, "Dad, come check out this Lego thing I built," or Olive wanting to dance, you know.
Where life becomes more mechanical and clunky, rather than organic. It's life. Mm-hmm. It's something that we're experiencing, not controlling.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. That's what I'm feeling, is like we could get into this mode that life's just one checklist after another, one checkbox after another, you know, the right next step, which is...
It comes from a good place.
Yeah, it's not terrible to think that way at times and to try and walk correctly, because that's the goal, is we're trying to walk well. We're trying to walk as disciples of Christ, you know, living out what the Bible tells us. But then, like, where's joy? Where's joy fall in all that?
Yeah. We actually, I was really encouraged this last week in the women's Bible study that I got to go to. And, you know, the whole topic was about soul-filling joy and the things that we can do as moms to fill our hearts up during the week. And like you said, not just have a list that we're checking off, even though that comes from a good place and we want to make sure that we're managing our homes well, but are we doing things that also fill us up and bring a smile to our face? Because that's going to overflow into our relationship with our kids. It's going to overflow into our marriages and give that liveliness that God intends for us to have.
So what you're saying reminds me of the verse in Isaiah 40:31. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've experienced this in my own life where I do something that brings a lot of joy to my life and it does renew my strength. Like there is something physical that happens to you when you experience the joy of the Lord and you experience his strength fill you up and renew you. And I think that's why it's so important to be talking about joy. I don't know. Have you experienced this?
Well, yeah, because we can get, you know, if we look at our life as just a series of actions taken, a series of checks to be checked off, you know, steps to take, and it's just this mechanical thing that we're moving forward, and yeah, maybe we're doing good things, but if we forget why we're doing it and who we're doing it for, it gets very tiresome, because essentially we're doing it in our own strength. We run on fumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told to fill our, you know, jars up so that to overflowing, like, and we fill that up with the living water, which is Christ, with the word of God, with prayer, with getting away, you know, quietness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Bible talks of prayer, when Jesus says, you know, you pray, he says, go into your closet, you know, and he says, get away. Jesus often, when I think about getting away, Jesus often got away. It says that he went up by himself into desolate places, and he, you know, early in the morning and late into the evening. And so
but he was intentional with his time.
Yeah. It wasn't just, I'm going to go and be quiet somewhere, which actually for some people is probably really filling for them, just being quiet somewhere.
Yeah.
you know, sitting at a park, people watching or something. not me, but this isn't just about doing the something that's fun necessarily. It's a holistic view of like waiting on God, because we know that we need Him. We need to rest in Him, and that gives us strength, and it gives us joy and the power to go on another day, not just go on, but to cheerfully and joyfully go on.
And I feel like we all need to be reminded that there's gonna life. In life, we will all experience hard times. We will all experience those.
Yeah, James makes that very clear.
Yeah, those times of wrestling where, you know, God's revealed sin in your life that you're repenting of, and you know you probably feel down for, but you're being transformed in.
Or when he's calling out character issues in us.
Character issues, really hard things. Maybe, you know, financial stresses, or maybe the loss of a loved one. There's so many different types of trials that people walk through, and yet I feel like, just because we experience hard times doesn't mean we can also experience joy. And I think that's the difference between happiness and joy, because happiness is a feeling and it's an emotion that we, you know, have the
capacity to experience. Right. And that's it's a byproduct of joy, I would imagine.
Joy is deeper. Joy comes from within, but it's also because God is in our hearts, and he's the one that makes it possible to both enjoy, or he's the one that makes it possible to experience joy while in the midst of hardship at the exact same time. Or maybe there isn't any hardship in your life right now, and you, like you said earlier, are just kind of like going through the motions and being kind of mechanical.
I actually feel like sometimes when we're going through good seasons, like, or easy seasons, I should say, often we find ourselves being more discontent. Like it's easier to forget to walk in joy or something. I've experienced that with us. Like,
that's interesting.
I realize there's nothing really hard going on in our life. Why are we feeling like this right now?
So in today's episode, we really just want to inspire you guys to consider joy. You know, maybe it's something that you haven't thought of, or maybe it's something that you've already been thinking of, and we can just come in as, you know, part of that support to say, yes, this is the right way. This is what we should be thinking about. This is what we should be doing. Because a marriage after God has joy.
Yeah. Well, and when you walk in the Spirit, what's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And so when we walk in the Spirit, fruit of that will be joy in our life. I was just thinking about the difference between happiness and joy. I feel like happiness is an earthly experience that comes out of the eternal understanding of joy. So joy is an eternal concept. It comes from hope. Hopes of things that are unseen. It's something that goes beyond the current experience. Because you can have joy even in really hard things, because it's based on something eternal, where happiness is based on something temporary.
That's good.
Something that we experience just right now this moment. So our goal should never be just seeking happiness. That's called hedonism, just looking for happiness. Our goal should be enjoying the fruit of the Spirit, which one of them is joy. So
what I was going to say was it benefits our children. Like so much. I was just thinking about how you could just, I feel like kids are so expressive, like their little bodies can reveal so much about what they're feeling, that joy is just one of those things that you can see in kids.
Yeah. I wonder how many of our listeners grew up in joyless homes, grew up in homes that were full of strife, anxiety, fear, and how much joy would have benefited the home. And they're probably thinking right now, man, I wish my family was joyful. I wish when I grew up, I experienced joy.
Well, if that's you listening right now, I just want to tell you that you don't have to live according to the past and feel like you're stuck. You can change.
Today. We talked about this last episode. Yeah. You can change today.
Yeah. And what a benefit it would be, what a testimony it would be to the power of God in your life.
Yeah. And so in our home, like I said, over the years, there was a season of my life it was probably because of sin I was walking in. It was probably because of discontentment issues that we had, character flaws, things that God was growing in us. But I feel like I had a hard time having fun. I had a hard time being joyful. I loved God, and there was times I was joyful, but it wasn't a default fate state for me. Mm-hmm. I was pretty Scroogey. Is that the word? You know, not just because Christmas is coming up, but just I think people called me Scroogey just because I was not very joyful. But I don't want that for my family. And what are some ways that we over the years have been cultivating joy in our home and that our listeners can take home and try?
Okay, so we should just tag team this and kind of like go down the list of things, but
And this isn't the definitive list. I actually tried coming up with as many as I could, but I'm sure there's other things that we might think of as we talk about these.
Probably. Okay, so we do have, we're in a season of young kids, and so a lot of what you probably will hear probably sounds, I don't know.
Silly?
Silly, because it is.
They are silly.
They are silly, but I think the important thing to note here is that these are just ways that we have tried to be intentional in cultivating a space in our home, in our lifestyle that cultivates joy. And so one of those things is fort building. I actually did that this morning with the kids.
The kids love it. We have a couch that's perfect for fort building. The pillows are huge. They're sturdy, so they make really good roofs.
I only believe in building big forts. I don't know why people build small forts. It's not worth it to me.
Yeah, I came home
the other day. Go big or go home.
I came home the other day, and the entire living room was a fort.
You have to use every chair, every blanket, every pillow.
The couches were on their sides. Maximize the pillows were stacked up high, and yeah. You guys were watching a movie inside.
And we were watching a movie inside, yeah.
You're like, we're in our movie theater. You want to come in? And I'm like, I don't know if I'll fit, but it was pretty huge, so I probably would have. It was pretty amazing. I think I actually storied it on Instagram. Because I was really impressed with that fort building.
Thanks.
That's one thing that we do. The kids love it. And it's fun because they're still pretty young. They could build one themselves, but they never make them as good as we make them. So
a little tip for fort building. If you get like a colorful quilt or one of those knitted blankets that are, you know,
they have holes in them.
Yeah. They're just really fun for the light to come through.
It's like stained glass windows.
It does.
I always say, look at the stained glass windows.
Okay, you need to share the 1 minute of crazy.
Okay, this is a newer thing.
But it works.
It's our 1 minute of crazy, and we've been doing it. We don't do it every night, of course. But when I feel like my kids just got like extra jitters in them.
Or extra screams.
What I'll do is I'll say, okay, guys, I want everyone to, I'll be a little stern about it. I want everyone to stand right here in a line. And then I like stand there and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And then I'll turn the music on our jam box really loud and I'll say, all right, I want you guys to get as crazy as possible for 1 minute. And then the whole time I'm telling them to get louder and louder and louder, and they're screaming. They get actually tired. Like when they're done, they're like, why'd you have us do that? I was like, wasn't that fun?
The first time you had them do it, it took them about 15 seconds to like, is dad joking? Or
yeah, they didn't know.
They're like looking at each other like, should we
and
be
that's
screaming?
Probably because of my history of not being very fun.
It was awesome.
Yeah, but it did take them a few seconds to actually like, they're like, wait a minute, are we going to get in trouble? Yeah.
It's a great thing to do, not right before bed, but, you know, leading up to bedtime.
I liked it right before bed because I feel like they weren't quite ready for bed. And this pushed them over the edge because yeah. They were like tired and they also felt like they got all of it out of them. Sometimes it's hard to calm them down afterwards, mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Okay, I want to share another one. This comes from my childhood. My mom and stepdad would always do this. They still do it. It's so funny. But if someone comes home and walks through the door or even out from the bathroom.
Is this where
or bedroom,
it came from?
Yeah. The first, you know, if whoever notices it goes, quick, pretend you're asleep.
And wherever you're sitting.
So wherever you're at, just kind of drop your head, close your eyes, and try as hard as you can not to smile.
Wyatt is so bad at it. Wyatt's our 2-year-old. He just turned 2.
But he still tries, and it's so cute.
He'll be in his little white chair, and I'll walk in, and everyone's like got their heads tilted to the side, their eyes shut.
So sometimes we'll be at the kitchen table, and we'll be eating breakfast when Aaron comes home, and I'm like, quick, pretend you're asleep. And everyone just kind of like limps their head to the side.
But then I look over, and Wyatt, he has his head back. And his eyes half shut and he's like smiling because he doesn't get it, but he's trying. He's like, hey. Yeah. And I'm like, are you guys sleeping? And why it's like smiling at me the whole time.
This is one of those things I love it because it's from my childhood. So I love that my kids have kind of like owned it. Olive is usually the first one now to say it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretend you're sleeping.
Quick, we're sleeping. And then she'll put her head down even if no one notices.
No, she gets mad if you don't do it.
Well, she does it so fast, no one notices. And she's the only one sleep pretending to sleep.
So it's really funny because then, you know, let's say dad walks through the door. Oh no, everyone fell asleep, or we'd get up really fast and go boop. So it's just fun.
Yeah. On the same note of the spontaneous sleeping, the narcolepsy game, we'll often do like, I'll get home early after the gym or something and it'll be super quiet in the house. And I think everyone's asleep. And so I'm tippy toeing and I get in the bedroom and every mountain under the bed. Every single person in my family is under the covers in my bed, and they're all hiding from me.
What's funny? Okay, even once the blanket goes over,
almost jumped on Elliot the other day because I didn't know he was in the bed.
But even Truett will be laying there, and the moment the blanket goes over his head, he kind of like gets all wide eyed and like, smiley. What's happening? Yeah, what's happening? So those are just fun ways to bring instantaneous giggles.
And they're short things, they're easy things, and it's something that they've become part of our family, these little things.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
Yeah. Our kids look forward to it. They're the ones that instigate all of these things now. Another little tip to help cultivate joy in the home is to not worry about messes so much. Mm. That doesn't mean that we don't clean up and, you know, have organization and self-control, and which is something Jennifer and I are trying to get better at, being organized and clean in our house. But if we're always trying to be tidy, it really doesn't leave any room for fun.
Well, we're going to miss those opportunities where, you know, maybe one of the kids is playing with Legos and would love some help. Yeah. Or wants to just get creative with you.
Or throwing pillows around the house for a little bit, or having blankets on, like forts. And, yeah. You know, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah. We built a fort this morning, like I said, and, you know, it's middle of the day right now. It's nap time. And
it's still messy out there.
It's all messed up. And I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, well, maybe they'll build another one later, you know, yeah. And that has to be okay.
Well, and something I've realized that if I'm always telling the kids to clean up, they're actually not going to like doing some of those fun things. Mm. Now there's a time for everything. So our kids know that there's a time to clean up. And so after we've had a full amount of fun or something, they understand that, like, okay, now let's straighten up, 'cause we're going to go on to the next thing. Yeah. But just kind of not having the anxieties and the overwhelmness of those little messes.
Yeah.
That it's gotta be okay.
Yeah.
It's just a good little tip to have a little more freedom and lightheartedness in the home.
Good word. Okay, so another one is dance parties. We like to turn the music up really loud and just go for it. And you guys don't know this about me.
Our kids are the best dancers.
But I was going to say I'm actually probably one of the most terrible dancers, but it doesn't hold me back. I just go for it, and somehow my kids have picked up on this, and they intend to dance crazy, silly, awkward, and that just makes us laugh even more.
If you'd like to see Jennifer dance, leave us a review and tell us that you'd like to see her dance, and I'll post a video of her on her Instagram.
Oh my goodness, don't even.
Yeah, I'm going to put some music to it, and you're going to be dancing, because they got to see. They got to see the gloriousness that is your dance skills.
Oh man, I got to think about that. Okay, so a lot of these other ones are very physical things, like tickling, spontaneous wrestling matches with dad.
Usually spurred on by my son, who hides crouching ready to attack. And the moment I come home, he just jumps out of nowhere onto me with a sword in his hand. But letting those things happen I think it does huge things for our children to know that they have the freedom to, of course, not hurt us, which happens sometimes, but just that they have the freedom to jump on us and to climb on us and to crawl on us. This morning, Olive was, I was talking to you and she was grabbing my legs and going in and out of my legs. And I didn't notice she was doing it for
like a
while.
A cat.
And then I finally was like, I'm like, Olive, what are you doing? Cause she was like, I felt like I was falling over, and she's like, I'm just playing with your legs. And like, she's going in and out and like sitting on them and pushing me over. And I, for a moment, wanted to be bothered by it. And then I thought to myself, like, why do I care that she's doing that to me right now? It's really cute. So it's something that I still have to consistently work on and recognize in me. Cause it's, I want to sometimes get bothered by those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But letting it happen, because I want my kids to know that they can touch me. They can crawl on me. They can hang on me. They can love me.
I was actually just really inspired by someone I follow on Instagram. Her name is Joy. And she posted a picture of her two oldest kids. They're like in their teens. And her little, you know, story caption was just to encourage other moms with little ones to listen to your kids when they come to tell you about what they created with Legos yeah. or with their drawing or imaginary world or whatever.
Taking joy in their creations.
She said, because it goes by so fast, and we know we all hear this, but she goes, you're going to want to hear from them and their hard things that they're walking through when they're older. And if you keep pushing them away or keep saying, no, I don't have time for that now, yeah. you're going to miss that opportunity. You know, you wouldn't have built that trust and that open lines of communication even at a very, yeah. very young age. And so hopefully that That's encourages good. Someone else.
Well, it encourages me that I need to be listening more mm-hmm. and paying attention to my kids more. And again, there's always a balance. You know, our kids can't absorb everything from us.
Yeah.
But being when we are intentional with it, it'll make the times that we can't okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll know
yeah.
that our hearts are with them.
Right. So I'd really love to talk a little bit about just experiencing joy in marriage between a husband and wife. But before we get there, there's one more thing that, you know, when I was thinking about this list that really stood out to me, and it's ways that we can kind of team up together to bring joy to our kids. Because mm-hmm. all the things that we kind of listed, we could do without the other.
Right.
But this next one's pretty interesting. So this was your idea or mine, I can't remember. But we were standing in the kitchen talking, and the kids were in the schoolroom. Oh, and yeah. I told you, I said, Aaron, call them out. And I had handfuls of marshmallows in my hand.
We both did, yeah.
I gave you the bag, and you took the bag from me, took a handful out, and we hid on either side of the walls so that when we came through the hallway, we were going to just launch all these marshmallows at them.
I was like, Elliot, Olive, Wyatt, come here.
Plus, it's also a good lesson in obedience. Are they coming the first time they're being called, right? You're killing two birds with one stone.
And then they pitter-patter down the hallway, and we're hiding on the floor so they don't see us, and they walk right past us, and then we just bombard them with marshmallows. And it actually scared them, and they looked at us like, they looked at us like, how could you do that?
They just stood there, and Olive had this like furrowed brow, and she was like ready to just reprimand us.
And then, they looked on the ground. They're like, are those marshmallows?
Can we have those? And then they just start, you know, squirming.
Luckily, marshmallows don't hurt. So, if you're going to do that game, throw things that don't hurt at your kids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would not be very fun.
We have other friends that intentionally do Nerf wars together.
Yeah. We actually thought about one time buying a bunch of Nerf stuff and then
getting that family that does that.
Yeah, not letting them know. And then when we go over for dinner, just attack them.
We should still do that.
We should still. Well, they might listen to this episode now. Now we have to do it before we launch this episode.
Okay, so that's just one way that you can team up together to cultivate joy in the home. We want to hear your guys' ideas too, so please share them.
Yeah, and all of these things that you can do, like little things, just compounding on top of each other, it shows your family, you know, especially for the husbands out there who might struggle the way I do to be joyful or have this fun, loving spirit or a lighthearted spirit. It shows your children, it shows your wife that you enjoy them, that you like being around them, that they're not just in the way of you, that you enjoy having crazy time with them, having fun time with them.
Yeah. That you want to hear them laugh, that you want to participate in their life.
Yeah.
Okay, so we touched on, you know, how to cultivate joy in the family, especially with small kids. But Aaron, how would you say we cultivate joy within the marriage and why that's important?
Well, you know, again, walking with the right perspective, first of all, that we have a mission in this world, that God loves us, that we're saved. You know, these big things that God's done for us easily just allows us to have joy even in the midst of hard things, even when maybe you're not joyful. Mm-hmm. I can still walk in that stuff. So mm-hmm. when we're walking in that together, that knowledge and that truth, there's naturally a joy that exists. But on the practical side, I think there's probably a ton of things that we do that cultivate joy, probably things that we could add to our lives. One of them is we have our own like set of inside jokes
mm-hmm.
that no one knows about. Well, when I'm not going to describe what they are because they're ours. But we have our own little inside jokes, and that's something that we do together, and it's funny for us. It's fun for us.
And those build over time. So, you know, if you only 1 year, 1 or 2 years married, just know that those come over time. Maybe you already have some, but those are a really fun way to just, you know, when you're out and about
at
any time, you can make these jokes and only they get it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's something unique to us.
Yeah. Something you said about having joy. One of the importance of that is, even amidst walking through hard stuff. And I feel like when I look at our marriage, experiencing joy with you was possible even in those first few years, which were our hardest years of marriage. And that was one of the things that carried us through those hard years was, you know, finding ways to cultivate joy in our relationship, you know, exploring new places together, trying to get each other to laugh.
Yeah, I realize when we weren't lovers in those early years, we were friends still. Not all the time, but we had a friendship. We had things that we can connect with still and cultivate. God wanted more from us. Yeah. But in those times, I remember when we were in Malawi, Africa, and it's been hard. We walked off and we sat on a pier over the lake. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. There's like a gazebo at the end.
Yeah. And we were just sitting there talking. Looking at the fish, talking about being there, talking about if we ever come back.
Yeah, we talked about our future.
Yeah, we talked about our future. And those little things. We on our list up there, we didn't talk about it, but adventures. Mm-hmm. That's another way we cultivate joy in our family and in our marriage is we take adventures, even when we're not with the kids. Mm-hmm. Me and you like to just go for a drive around around neighborhoods we've never been in before. Going up the mountain just to drive up the mountain. You know, there's things that we do that give us opportunities to just talk. Mm-hmm. And I think those are situations that cultivate joy in us because it's just us together. It's just us spending time with each other, talking, hearing each other.
Yeah. I think another practical way to do this is, again, physical touch, just like when we were talking about with the kids, but tickling each other, hugging each other.
Massages,
dancing.
That's joyful for me.
I'm giving Aaron the eyes because that sounded creepy, but yeah, just being physical, being willing to tickle each other
and play each other.
Yeah. I like the,
we're a lot more playful with each other these days than we used to be.
Yeah. I like the keep away game where you snag something like their phone works really well for this and then you have to try and get it.
Yeah. If you want to know how addicted someone is to their phone, just snag it out of their hands and see how they respond. wait, that's joyful. Yeah. No, it's just. I just think about the lightness.
Yeah.
You know, we've had seasons where it just feels like we're walking on eggshells with each other. And that's not fun. Where you're tippy-toeing around your spouse and you're just wondering if the next thing you do is going to trigger them. That's the opposite of joy.
Yeah.
That is not joyful. That is tedious and cumbersome. But if your spouse can feel light around you,
and
free around you and cherished around you and loved around you, how much strength there is in that and power there is in that. And that's what I want, because again, we're always talking about being a marriage after God. There's a reason we're together.
Yeah.
It's for the ministry God has for us. And if you're constantly feeling like you have to be so aware of every move you make around me, because you're just wondering if you're going to trigger me, there's no way you can minister. Mm-hmm. You know, for Christ in that kind of situation. There's no way we as a family can show the world the love we have for each other, which is what we're called to do, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not just talking about in marriage, it's talking about in the church as a whole, but, you know, joy remedies that. Mm-hmm. It cultivates an environment that allows for true and powerful and authoritative ministry to happen.
Mm-hmm. And joy is one of those testimonies of the power of God in your life. And I know I said that earlier, but it's so true that when the world looks at you, when the world looks at a marriage after God and they see joy, they're probably thinking, well, I want what they have.
Yeah. How do I get some of that?
Or what is that? You know, and then you get to tell them it's because of Jesus in my life. It's because God has transformed us. It's because God gives us hope.
Yep. And so I hope those listening get encouraged by this, that Of course, we're still learning, but if they put their hearts in the right place, they put it in the hands of Christ and allow him to transform them and say, Lord, I want more joy. I want more of your joy. And I want my family to experience joy. You know, it all goes back to walking in the Spirit, saying, Lord, help me walk in the Spirit today. I want my kids to feel the overflow of joy in my life. I want my wife, I want my husband to feel that, to experience that joy, to eat the good fruit coming out of me. Mm-hmm. And then in our marriage, I want people, our children, outsiders, to eat the good fruit of our marriage. And at the end of the day, that joy becomes our strength. So I just want to read that scripture in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah just finished building the walls around the city. And Ezra, the priest, got up on a platform and he read the entire book of the law out loud from day till night to all of the congregation of the people. And Nehemiah says this to the people after all of this. He says, then he said to them in chapter 8, verse 10, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, this people, they were scattered, they were dispersed, the city was destroyed. Nehemiah came, rebuilt the city, and was about to, and he had all the people coming back to the city to rebuild their own homes, to rebuild this city with a people that God promised it would be their city, it'd be their home. And he just reminds them, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Mm-hmm. So the strength in our home, the strength in our lives is the Lord. The strength in our marriage, the strength in our ministry. And that strength comes from the joy that God gives us, from the hope we have in Christ, from the power and the authority of the Word of God. And that joy is like the thing that just allows us to keep going, mm-hmm. keep walking. Instead of it being mechanical, instead of it being a checklist, it's now a life-giving thing we do. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. You know, my grandma Betty, she is 91, and just right there at the end of her life. And my dad posted a quote, something that she always said, which was, make someone laugh every day and life will be full. And when I think about her life, I think about it being really full.
Yeah, every time we were around her, she's big old smile, laughing.
Huge smile.
Making jokes.
She, just for a little description, she was probably only 5 foot. I mean, maybe 5'1" with heels on. And she wore colorful dresses. She had bright red hair and always wore blue eyeshadow. And when I think of her, I think of fun. I remember being a little girl, maybe like, you know, four years old. I would go over to her house when my dad brought us over there to visit. And about, you know, 10 minutes before we would leave, she would say, Jen, come with me. And she'd take me to her vanity and put perfume on me and eyeshadow and blush and did the whole thing.
Make you feel so pretty.
Make me feel like a princess. And the whole time just talking to me and encouraging me and loving on me. And I can't imagine what I look like to everyone walking out as a little four-year-old with this makeup on, if she even really put makeup on.
Remember, she liked to have fun. So
I know. But when I think about that little girl, when I think about myself, you know, if I stood in front of her today, I would think there is no question about the joy that I had in my heart from just that experience with her, those 5 minutes of, or 10 minutes or however long it was of sitting in her chair and listening to her voice and, you know, being there with me. And I just love that. And I want at the end of my life to look back and think that was a full life.
Yeah. And I want people to look back on my life or our life and say, wow, they were joyful.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think, man, they were bitter and frustrated all the time and annoyed. I want them to say they were joyful. Mm-hmm. Right. So joy is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
What's funny is all of the fruit of the Spirit is powerful. It's why
we need it.
We need the Spirit. It's because it produces such good things in us. Yeah. So I just pray that this encouraged the listeners today, that they would pursue joy, that they would walk in the Spirit, and that they would cultivate an environment in their home that their kids just know what joy is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times, but it does mean that we can have pure, mm-hmm. eternal joy. Mm-hmm. Something that's founded in something in eternity, not in something in that is temporary.
I love that. Speaking of prayer, I think that now is a perfect time to go into our prayer for today's episode. We'd love to invite you guys to pray along with us.
Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of joy. We pray that we would be intentional to cultivate joy in our marriages and in our families. Holy Spirit, please inspire us with creative ways to create space in our lives to laugh, to play, to enjoy precious moments with those we love most. Remind us every day of the power of joy and how we can be vessels of your joy so that it is dispersed throughout the world. May our joy be a testimony to others of your goodness and your strength in our lives. May it be the reason people ask us why we are so different from the rest of the world. May our joy draw our spouse, our children, and others close to you as we experience the gift of joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we just thank you for joining us this week. We pray that you have joy this week. We pray that you would walk in the Spirit. And we look forward to having you next week.
Did you enjoy today's show? Find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com. And let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.